Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children. Today, we're talking about what it feels like to be away from home when you're parenting autistic children. Whether it's a one-night stay, a weekend with grandparents, or a long holiday. Trips that other families might find routine can involve a huge amount of planning, uncertainty, and sensory challenges. Different beds and pillows, unfamiliar food, noisy or crowded spaces, and even hidden safety hazards in accommodation. We're sharing our experiences, what helped, what didn't, and our suggestions of what might help you too. Being away from home can be quite stressful, and it can involve quite a lot of planning. I know myself, I've put off going to places because I just can't bear to think about everything that I need to prepare and all the things that can potentially go wrong. I feel like I have to be in quite a strong place myself to be able to get through those sorts of situations.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I can talk about. We were away very recently and I wasn't in a strong place either. So yeah, happy to dig into this one today.
So first off, what do you do for planning? So you've just been on a big holiday, haven't you?
Yes, this wasn't a successful holiday. Well, we've talked about this in the past. I've come on and I've been able to say, yeah, we did this and it worked so well. This was really hard. So I can certainly talk about what we did and I can talk about what didn't work. We went away for 2 weeks on a cruise to the Caribbean. This was our third cruise as a family, but it's 2 years since we went away. Certainly for that amount of time, when we've been away in between that, it's been not for long at all. So maybe a weekend, we've probably gone up to the children's grandparents in North Wales, something like that. And that would be maximum of a couple of nights, but not recently. And the reason I emphasize the not recently is because one of my children expressed that because it had been so long, that was what made it extra hard for them.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. And we talked about what might have worked better. And they said going away for two or three nights, building up to a week. So the strategies that we probably would have used for other things, that gradual build up, we went wham, bam, 2 weeks. So you can see already that's hard.
But you partly do that because going away for 2 to 3 days fairly frequently is stressful.
Partly. Also, we have our dog now. We got our dog just before we went on holiday the last time. And I think we're really conscious that we couldn't leave him. And he's too much for most people to handle. So we had to work out what we were going to do. And I think we were also thinking, oh, hopefully he'll calm down. Hopefully he'll calm down and you could have him.
Or mum
and
dad.
If you would eat your cat. Mum and dad won't be able to manage if we got a dog walker. So it was all those things. It wasn't just the fact of the children that were in the way. I would say a big factor in that was the dog. And then, of course, the cruise to the Caribbean, it cost quite a lot of money. So we saved for that across the 2 years, which is what makes it even harder when it doesn't work out. That's so brilliant.
But there's a reason you do the cruises as well, isn't it? Apart from being very lovely, but also it's familiar, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. What worked well the first 2 times we went was that we were able to have this base of a cabin and the ship would pull up to the different ports and there was really little amount of stress. We didn't have to think about how we were going to get there. If we booked a trip, which we do book trips, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but it's all done for you. Again, you're on the ship with all these food options, different places, different times. So in the past, it's worked so well. It's been really good. And all those elements were still there. And they were still helpful. And part of the reason that it cost so much is because we book all the trips. So we went with P&O and we booked a trip for every single port, which adds up. But the reason that we do that is because one of our children in particular, they both need that warning. But one of them, we put together a book. I don't know if I've talked about before. This was something we were advised again from the early birds course. We put together a daily, this is what's going to happen. This is the timings. These are the photos. And then we can go through that in the lead up to the holiday and we can go through it each day. This is what today looks like. And certainly in the past, that's made the difference between one of my children not being able to get out of bed and then saying, okay, I can do that. I know that we're leaving at 9, going to be back on the ship at 12. That's okay. It's chicken and egg as well there because those timings have to be stuck to.
Yeah. And so what are the things that went wrong?
So what I mentioned, I think it had been far too long a gap. We needed to have done some little practice runs, really. Another massive, because it was my head injury. So we didn't know for sure if we'd be able to go. So my accident was at Christmas and we were flying out in February, which was a bit iffy. And again, I wasn't well at all. I was dealing with a lot of dizziness.
Concussion, basically.
Concussion. So it made it hard to prepare for me to give my child the amount of time and preparation that I would have done on the lead up to it. I do think that had a factor. And I think that they were already dealing with all the change to the daily routine, struggling with school, struggling with all those things. And then on top of that, when the anxiety is really high, we're now going to go away for 2 weeks and take you out of your safe space and just bomb everything that's happening.
Yeah.
So I think all of those things were really bad timing. But again, that's hard when you've booked something 2 years in advance. A lot can change in 2 years. I think our natural assumption was that everything would be easier. Things would be getting better. This child was in a specialist school. And we just assumed that everything would be easier. And that was the wrong assumption. That was definitely the wrong assumption.
Yeah, it's not all plain sailing, is it? It's a bit up and down for various different reasons, I think. So it's unpredictable.
Yeah, really unpredictable.
Are there things that you took with you to help support? Are there any things that you would suggest that people could take?
Yeah, so I think it depends on the age of your child, doesn't it? I know when we went to Norway a few years ago, we made sure that we had things like favourite books. Devices are quite key in our household. They're really calming. Another reason why the price of the holiday went up was we added the Wi-Fi on so that they could have access to familiar things, could still actually log on and do some gaming. We weren't sure at one point if this was a good thing or a bad thing. And I'm still not 100% sure this time if it was helpful or a hindrance, because there's the what I'm missing out on. So it can be hard to be present. But in the past, it's worked really well because it's given that consistency. So it's something I would definitely keep under review. Another thing that we take was basically a suitcase full of food. So much food, because food's hard. Even though, as I said, like, the cruise is so good with what they provide, I think with a child who's probably in burnout, really struggling, a lot of anxiety, it's worse. There's that need for the safe foods. And as I was collecting it, I did it over a few weeks. My daughter said, if you need all that food, you could open a shop. I bet you we will not get through that. And what do you think? We did get through it. And it was a good job that I had it, because
Mum knows best.
Mum knows best, exactly. It's better to be prepared. So all those things, I think we took things like general comfort things, if there's special toys or blankets or anything that makes everything familiar. And then, of course, we used to have a red bag. It's now a blue bag because the red bag died. But a bag that we can carry around with all the essentials. So obviously the lanyard, things to smell, the balaclava, mask if necessary, fidget toys. I need to do a complete itinerary of the bag. We have the back rescue remedy for if the anxiety is heightened. It's a whole bag of tricks.
Yeah.
All those things.
The reason that question popped into my head was because we went away only for one night. And before we left, I asked my son if he would like to take his pillow. He has a very specific U-shaped pillow, which he likes to have. But he said, no, I'll be fine. And I should not have listened. I shouldn't have even asked the question. I thought, okay, that's good. He's feeling relaxed. This is great. And then we get there and he's very excited about the hotel and everything. And then it comes to bedtime and going to sleep. Yeah. I can't sleep. This all feels wrong. This isn't my pillow from home. These sheets don't feel like home. Massive, big deal. We were up far later than planned. So from now on, always take the U-shaped pillow. Always.
Always. A mistake I made was thinking that the travel toothpaste would be okay. Why? I don't know why I thought it would be. Again, I asked the question and I was told, no, that will be fine. And actually, it meant to me being really stressed that no teeth were being brushed. So currently, they were using Colgate. So I was able to find some on the ship. Okay, we've got it. But actually, since then, toothbrushing, again, with all the general heightened anxieties, become really hard. And we've moved over to one of the tasteless, non-foaming types. But I think it's really important that whatever you use at home, assuming that's okay, you have that with you, as you were saying.
Yeah, I would say, based on our experience, everything that you can possibly keep the same as home, keep the same as home.
Yeah. Something that I'd underestimated as well was that we all shared a cabin. And whilst that worked in times gone by, they're both a bit older now. I'm not sure what the solution is to this, but...
A much more expensive holiday.
Yeah, a much more expensive holiday. But I think something that I hadn't considered enough was that both children like a lot of time by themselves in their room to just be by themselves. And obviously you're going to get no time to do that if four of you are sharing a room. Luckily, we did go for a balcony. So we were in the end able to make that balcony space. We would let my child, who was struggling the most with the holiday, go and sit out there, play their iPads, even call a friend, which I'm sure was great for the people on the other balconies. But it was that personal space, that chance to just be alone, that was taken away. And I think that's something worth bearing in mind as well.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that too. I would prefer that. I like my personal space. I think that's how we recharge, though, isn't it? Also how some people recharge. Some people get their energy from being around lots of people, and others get it from retreating. And I'm definitely a retreater.
Yeah, that was definitely more challenging and something that we need to consider. But again, I think it changes as your children get older as well with what you need and what they need.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I do think there are a lot of things that could be done for accommodation and cruise ships. They could think about what neurodivergent families might need to help ease the anxieties and stresses a little bit, so we don't have to think about every single little thing.
Yeah, I definitely want to explore what's on offer a little bit more on the different ships and see, because, yeah, anything that you can do to make it easier. I think someone I was speaking to goes on Disney cruises, and she was quite impressed with the kids club. They had a slide that he could go down into it, so it was fun from the beginning and he could tolerate little spells in there. Not that I'm saying that it would necessarily be a kids club, but I think that what's on offer from different holiday providers varies so much. And I think it's definitely something to look into and see. It's not something I've considered before when I've been booking a holiday, but going forwards, I think it's something that I'll look into, because anything that can be easier in any way.
Yeah, it's planning for meltdowns as well. If a child has physical meltdowns, it's thinking about what the furniture is in the room that you're staying in, if there's sharp corners on the furniture, if there's glass objects, that kind of thing. You're surveying the room, and we really could, that could be taken away so easily. And I know we talked to Karen from My Safe Place, didn't we?
Yes, and she's doing a lot of great work in that area to try and make safer spaces for families.
And I think that could be really valuable, because it just removes that layer.
Yeah.
And that can be really helpful, because you can focus on other things. Yeah.
I think you probably do need to think through a plan. If you need exit strategies or meltdowns, how do you deal with that? Ours had to be very ad hoc, but perhaps that's something we should have talked about, particularly if you've got a child who's likely to do a runner. we worked it out quite quickly. It was who's going to stay with one child, who's going to go after the other child, where are you going to go, what's going to be helpful. Something that we did find was that our cabin was a nice space for regulation yeah. for this child. They just usually needed to be away from the crowds.
Were there other quiet spaces you could go to?
It depends when you're talking. A sea day on a ship is pretty busy. Yes, there would be quiet corners, but you'd have to seek them out. And the worst thing for my child that was struggling was the busy corridors at the eating times, having to navigate going through that because all the restaurants were in the same area. Were there things we could have done? Yeah, probably. What we did for breakfast, for example, was I would get up early, I'd go upstairs to the buffet, have my breakfast, load up a plate of food and bring it back to the cabin.
Yeah.
So they didn't, neither of them had to navigate busyness in the morning. They could just take their time, get ready for what the trips were, eat either what I brought back or from our stash.
It would be helpful if companies could offer more assistance in that way.
It would. There was one thing actually, there was a particularly bad day. And as I was saying with the time frames, it was like once that time is up, one of my children would then really need to go back to the cabin and have some downtime.
Yeah.
But often this would be on lunchtime and we went past one of the restaurants and there was no way that my child could access going in. It was getting quite upset. So my husband took this child back to the cabin and I went in with our other child and we ate, and it was an American diner, and I asked if I could have a takeaway box to take it up to the cabin for him because he was missing it, and they said no. And I said, but can you just bring it? I know that they will give you a box, we'd had a box elsewhere. And I said he's got additional needs, really struggling, and I just wondered if I could take the pancakes back. And it was just, he checked with his manager and they just said, no, you would need to order room service. It was just a strict policy. I know.
That's where it falls down, isn't
it? And that's, yeah, it's just that little lack of understanding, because I really don't think it would have been hard. They could have brought it on a plate. Mm. I could have carried it up there, brought the plate back.
It's not like you're trying to get out of paying for room service. No. There's a need there and there's a barrier.
Yeah, it's just that it was tricky. That was a bit of a letdown, really. And then, yeah, I would say sea days were the most challenging when we were away, because you've just got so many people on the ship. Days at port, much better if you were then, say, on the ship for a bit of time in the afternoon, because everybody would be.
Do you write down your thoughts on how it went and what you would do differently, so next time you have something to refer to?
Yes, I do. I'm usually making notes. This is what we did wrong. This is what we did.
Because it can be so easy to forget, can't it?
Yes. Yeah. I try to make notes, and I had made notes from last time. Definitely need a trip every day, though I did that. But then there are still things that aren't going to be right, or it's going to depend on where you're coming and what kind of state your child's in when you've booked this holiday. And things like accidents and destabilizing things, I just don't think you can prepare. You can do a lot to help yourself, but you can't prepare for everything.
No, and I don't think it's ever going to be perfect, is it? It's just about making it as manageable as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing, I don't know if you've come across this, is how you balance siblings' different needs on trips. Because I think that can be challenging, because especially you might have one child with needs and one without, or just have different needs. It might not look the same, even if they've got the same diagnosis.
Yeah. When we last went on a holiday, our youngest was only one. So at that point, she was having naps. So that was quite easy. So just take her off in the pushchair for a nap.
I remember those days.
Bit different.
Yeah.
And they do like different things.
Yes, that's it. And I find that whilst one might need to stim and make noises to calm down, this can really aggravate the other.
Oh, gosh. Yes, we have that too.
Now, mine were a little bit older, but we did need some time apart.
Yeah.
You know, one of my children's into art and they were able to go off and just have some space.
Is that one verbal stimming?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what aggravated the one who needed quiet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's what we have as well often.
I think it was about being prepared not to do everything all together.
Yeah.
We just can't. And also, I think, you know, there's so much on offer in these places, and for us. It was certainly accepting that we're just not going to be able to go to all the shows or anything like that. It's going to be a much more dialed down version.
Yeah. Yeah, it's having that flexibility all the time, isn't it? And your own needs fall to the bottom.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, what are they? For me, it was good, though, being on the ship, because I could actually tell if I was still dizzy, if it was the ship gently moving.
Oh, dear. That's quite sad. I wonder as well, it's not anything I've done before. I wonder if anybody out there listening has, but do people contact hotels beforehand and say, we have children who are autistic, they may have certain needs, what can you accommodate, certain things, can we bring food back to the bedroom if needs be? I wonder if it's worth doing that.
Well, I think that we should look into that, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to know, because all those things are going to help, aren't they?
They are. And I think sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to cause a fuss. But actually, why not? Why we should be trying to make it easier for our children as much as possible. And they should be aware. And the only way they're going to be aware is if we point it out.
100%. Yeah, I definitely think that should be on the list for the next time we go away. Let's start asking the questions and finding out beforehand.
I know there are some hotel chains now that are specifically marketing their neurodivergent friendliness, but I haven't tested them out. Maybe we should.
That should be our mission. Yeah, you should start testing them out.
Yeah, I agree. One of the places that is really good is the airport. I don't know if you found this too, but when you request extra support, that's helped us so much.
You requested extra support?
We were able to check in a fast queue.
Okay.
You contact the airport in advance and say, child with autism, and we wore the sunflower lanyards. I know some places are now phasing them out and having different things, but at the time we went away, we had those, and we were given a fast check-in process, which helped so much. So it's far less queuing.
Yeah, we've had really good experiences at both Heathrow and Gatwick the last couple of times that we've travelled with, and I didn't know you could do that, but one of my children will wear the lanyard, and actually, it was really helpful. We were the first aboard the plane this time, which was good because one of them was crying. And it was just really helpful to get through those crowds. Something that I should have said that we do, we've done the last couple of times, is to book the airport lounge. And that way, then we get to the airport, you're in a quieter space. We make sure that whoever needs to stay can stay there until the gate number comes up. I mean, once you've done the check-in, but both times they've pulled us out and fast-tracked us, I think, with the lanyards. I haven't found the same experience in the foreign countries, but we've managed.
Okay. And so there are sensory rooms in some of the airports too, so they're worth looking into. Being away from home doesn't need to be perfect to be worthwhile. You might find that making small adjustments, such as a favourite pillow, predictable meal options, an emergency bag, or asking a hotel about room layout can make a big difference. Ultimately, choose what feels doable for your family, stay flexible, and give yourselves permission to prioritise safety and calm over doing it all.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast. We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.